Good morning. You've tuned into the KRFY Morning Show. It broadcast every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 8 a.m. right here on Panhandle Community Radio. Today is Thursday, September 1st, and you're in the studio with Jim and Jack. And joining us today for our daily conversation, we have two other members of the KRFY crew here. We've got Jackie Henry on and Jerry Warren to talk about their shows and their volunteer activities that they do here at 88.5 KRFY, your listener-supported community radio station for everyone who can hear me right now. That's North Idaho.
That would be correct. I'm Jim Healy, the co-host, and today is September 1st. You know what we say around this time of year, Jack?
What do we say?
We say, Jack, go out for a pass. Footballs are in the air.
Oh, yeah.
This is a big weekend. I've waited all year for USC in Alabama, Mississippi State in Florida State, Houston in Oklahoma, and then my beloved Irish on Sunday night against Texas.
The I think the first high school game was last week, actually.
Oh, ESPN had a whole day of high school football from around the country on, if you can believe that.
I can hardly believe it, but I guess ESPN, after the Olympics, I don't know what else they're going to talk about.
Well, you've got Big Brother on, but you know, that can only go so far. But football will be in the air, and it is September and crisp days. What's the forecast?
It feels like it. It feels like back to school time. September hit, and it just suddenly there's a crispness in the air, and we are. I just wanted to grab my backpack this morning. I had a bowl of oatmeal, and I was ready to walk out the door.
Inside your backpack?
Yeah. No, but I wanted to, you know, grab my knapsack and my school books and walk down to the elementary school.
And your Big Chief tablet.
Yes.
Your Big Chief tablet and trundle off and learn something.
That's exactly right. It felt like that kind of day. Today is actually going to be mostly sunny, but the high is only about 73, which is a little bit
perfect,
less.
Perfect.
It is perfect. You're right. But it's a little less than we've had these this last week. Tomorrow, it looks like we're going to be getting into some rain and a high near 58 degrees. Showers are also likely tonight. 80% of chance of showers tomorrow. And looking into the weekend, it looks like the rain might continue. Fall is kind of upon us, and it's falling fast.
Fall is falling fast?
Yeah. Oh. Although tomorrow's the cold day with a high only near 58 degrees, and then it'll be mid-60s throughout the weekend, and it's giving me a slight chance of showers, 20% on Saturday, 40% on Sunday, and 30% on Labor Day. So not necessarily what you want for Labor Day weekend, but still pleasant. And in this area, you know, rain is good.
Rain is good, especially at this time of year. But one of the things about Labor Day is that it signals the downhill rapid slide of summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, summer has almost left the building. Isn't that true, Jackie?
Yeah, I think so. But I'm so happy we haven't had the smoke this year.
Well,
we've had a little
barely,
bit.
Barely, yeah.
We've had some smoke, but not the heat or the humidity that anything, let's say, east of the Mississippi has had. I mean, I was talking with my sister who lives in Arlington, Virginia, and she said this was the fourth hottest summer on record in the D.C. area, if you can believe. And heat index in triple figures. So we have been blessed up here. I mean, I complain when the temps get over 80 degrees, but, you know, I complain no more. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to talk about the KRFY programming schedule. And I want to say a few things before we jump in and chat with Jerry and Jackie and Jack and me about our shows on the that we have no money for our schedule, our programs here at 88.5 KRFY. We depend upon local programmers, volunteers to step forward, to go through the training, to submit programs to the programming committee. Without their support, we wouldn't be able to be on 24/7. We do get programs from elsewhere, and we'll talk about those later. But part of being a community radio station is involving members of the community. So that was my little spiel that I wanted to put everything in a framework.
Yeah, we do. It is all thanks to volunteers that we're here at all. And yeah, you guys aren't paid. And there's something I think community broadcasting, volunteer broadcasting brings something different to the airwaves, a little more individual flavor than you get elsewhere. Go ahead, Jackie.
Yeah, for me, what it kind of was a perfect confluence of my interests and the capability to give something back to the community. My interests in songwriting and poetry are perfect for this show that I do at 7 p.m. on Sundays called Songs, Voices, Poems. And when I wrote up the proposal after going through the training and submitted it to the program committee, I had an early glimmer of how my interests were consistent with what the radio station does. But as over the last 2 years, as I've had to do research for a different show each week, contact poets both locally and nationally for permission to use their poems on the show, and learned much more about poetry. It's been a self-education for me and something that I feel good about offering to the community.
How long has your program been in the KRFY schedule?
My first show was October 5th, 2013. No, 2014. It's almost been 2 years.
Okay. Now, have you had any previous experience behind or in front of a mic?
No. Well, aside from performing songs, I really hadn't had any experience on radio, on media.
Okay. Where your program is now, as opposed to when you proposed it, are you sort of within the same ballpark of what you proposed, or has it gone off in different directions? Has it been a surprise to you?
It's totally a surprise. And what I was interested in is how it developed into a balance between teaching or informing and entertainment. So to me, that's the balance I try to strike, is when I do a lot of research about these poems or songs, I ask myself, well, does this meet my aesthetic criteria for the show, for the station, for the audience we have here? Can they enjoy themselves listening to this and learning about this?
So what's a usual, for those who haven't heard it before, what's a normal show sound like? How do you?
Well, I introduce the show by saying what I value about poetry and what that brings to songwriting. And then I play a series of songs just to get the audience into the show that reflect a theme, a different theme each week. So, for example, one show I did was water. And, of course, Sandpoint is very dependent, very interactive. Water is an important feature of this community. So I did some songs that talk to the how valuable it is to have clean, clear, enjoyable water. There are some songs from communities who have suffered from pollution from various sources. There were some songs that just give you the whole feeling of how wonderful it is to be near water, like Linda Ronstadt. During that show, I played Linda Ronstadt's song, Rock Me, actually Jackson Brown's song, sung by Linda Ronstadt.
We have that queued up, actually. We could take a break, but maybe we'll...
I'd like to comment about Jackie's show on Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock is I like the way you set up the theme, and then, but I don't know where it's going to go because you have so many resources. I'm overwhelmed by which direction you take and where you go with your resources. There's so much out there. How do you, you must put in a lot of work with each show.
Well, I do. And for me, it feels like the work of my life, actually. Even though I'm a volunteer here, mm-hmm. it seems like this is totally my river, that I found it by working here. And I had, and this is a surprise to me, and it's just grown. And what I've come to learn is that every week, I build the show at the start of the week, so I don't build it ahead of time. Every show has a feeling when it starts out is that the whole universe is filled with potential themes for the show. I can turn around at any second and say, here's another thing that works. So it's never difficult for me to decide a new and unique theme.
And I'm sure Jerry, which whom we'll be speaking with shortly, will agree. There's an element of discovery as you put a show together, like, oh, that is just way too cool. You know, I'm dealing with water. Here's a poem or here's a song that I haven't listened to carefully that fits in perfectly. So there is, you mentioned it's education for yourself, but it's also playful discovery that there's so much out there.
Right. In fact, this week's show is about the experience of fun. And so I've pulled back a little from emphasizing the lyric. And like Velma's show, our queen of fun,
on Wednesday nights.
I'm taking a different look at fun. What does it actually feel like? So some of the songs are like Wipeout.
Ah,
can you remember when you first heard that, how much fun it felt like?
When you say, can you remember Wipeout? I can remember before Wipeout. I hope you're thinking about Freddie Cannon's Palisades Park. With on the roller coaster ride and whatever, that's about a theme park. But let's Jack.
I was going to ask, we talked a little bit about poems, and that's a critical part of the show. And how do you incorporate that in? Do you have any poems lined up for fun, example?
I'm still looking for the fun poems. One aspect of the show that I used to do a lot that I'm going to use this week for that fun thing is, what does it feel like to have fun in poetry? And for me, there's a thing called chance poetry. When you go out to people and you ask, and I've done this in the community, I go out to people and I ask them, give me a who, what, when, where, or why. And then just by chance, I assemble a poem from those community contributions. And to me, it's kind of a metaphor for how we all work together in community. And it comes out with some very interesting, sometimes fun, sometimes pretty deep stuff.
We're talking with Jackie Henry on, by the way, who hosts Songs, Voices, Poems on Sunday nights at 7 o'clock, and that's right before a show called Lake Air that leads into our whole weekend wind down.
We can talk about Sunday night offerings. Can you set up the song we're going to listen to by Linda Ronstadt, "Rock Me on the Water"? What was the theme? What were some of the other songs that you remember or poems that you did with water? And oops, she's going. She's one of these modern tech people. She's all plugged in, and here I am, you know, looking.
You do it from your mind. I can't believe how you retrieve stuff, but I don't.
I long back to the days for dial phones, you know, those sorts of artifacts. But let's talk about Sunday night briefly. Jackie's show is from 7 to 8, and she sets up beautifully Lake Air. Jake Longwell from the Finger Lakes region of, I think, New York State, puts together this program of just fascinating music that leads into KRFY's Weekend Wind Down. And that's a collection of music that flush out the weekend and to ease into the week. It would be the best way to describe it. It's sort of like in the old days, if you remember NPR, with Music from the Hearts of Space. It's a non-vocal, and it's just sort of like mind cleansing. If I don't know if that's an adequate description of it, because, but, you know, it's music that sort of relaxes you. You know, you sit there with your glass of scotch and or something like that.
Yeah, sure.
You know, lemonade or limeade, and you, whew, the weekend's over with. Bring on the week.
Butterscotch soda, maybe.
Oh, there you go.
That's from 9 to midnight, and you, it is a nice, I've turned it on once or twice. It's a nice end to the weekend, and or a beginning to.
It's a transition. It's a transition program, the 3 hours.
Yeah, I love that show, because when I close down my own show, it takes me a while to do that. So I'm here for about a half an hour. So I listen to the beautiful, I mean, it really is a relaxing experience to listen to this. In my lexicon, it's like new age music, or some people
there
call it a hot tub music, but it really does what a hot tub does. You know, it makes you feel like you're bathed in this floating experience. So I think that's really special that the station has that whole series.
There is some sort of unity on Sunday nights, and that certainly you kick it off marvelously with songs, voices, poems.
So we were going to talk a little bit about the water show.
Yeah.
And so some of the things that I played during that show was Robert Frost's poem, Going for Water. And it was read by a British artist, because, of course, Robert Frost went over to England when he initially didn't get much of a reception here in the United States. So he actually published first over in England. So it was read by a British poet, and it had such a beautiful resonance, and it talked about his relationship.
And one of the things I can say is that probably the worst reader of Robert Frost's poetry was Robert Frost. If you've ever listened to him read his poetry, you go, OMG.
Oh, he read it before Kennedy's inauguration, didn't he?
That was a struggle.
Yeah.
He had the reputation of not being a good reader of his own poetry.
Now, you probably knew this, Jim, but I did not, that he didn't have a reception over on this side of the Atlantic.
He got his feet wet over in England and then came back.
Yes.
A little other known detail is he was married to the daughter of the mayor of Billings, Montana.
That's
how's that?
Now
A little tidbit.
Yeah.
Go ahead, so Jackie. You were going to.
Just the last verse from that poem was a note as from a single place, a slender tinkling fall that made now drops that floated on the pool like pearls and now a silver blade. It's just such a beautiful.
Well, what poetry does, as well as I think lyrics do, it's a different way of seeing. And especially with radio, Jackie, you know, you're just absolutely spot on. It's the words, and there's the listener, and closes one's eyes and try to imagine what one's heard.
Yes, in fact, we're all like a metaphor for radio. If you think about it, we are receivers ourselves of information. And so when you choose to tune into our broadcast, it's just like you are the radio.
Well, we're disembodied voices. People cannot see how fabulously we look. And it's just our voices that carry the day. And so we're going to listen to Linda Ronstadt, Rock Me on the Water, here on 88.5 KRFY, The Morning Show. We're with Jackie Henrion and Jerry Warren and Jim and Jack, and we are talking about the program schedule. Here is Linda Ronstadt.
Thanks for listening to the KRFY Morning Show. For copyright reasons, we can't reproduce protected music on the podcast edition of The Morning Show. But feel free to tune in live at 8 a.m. at 88.5 on your radio dial, or listen anywhere in the world by streaming us through our website, krfy.org. If you listen live, you can hear the full program, including musical breaks. While you're visiting KRFY.org, consider tapping that donate button and help keep KRFY providing unique quality radio in North Idaho. Thanks for your support. We now return to the show.
That was Linda Ronstadt with Rock Me on the Water, an example of the kind of music, the kind of words that one would hear on Jackie Henry's show. Jackie, in summary, can you give us a look ahead to this Sunday's program? Do you want to share?
Sure.
Sure.
I think the list is over in the production room. But other than Wipeout, I just don't have a memory of what the whole list is about. So it's about experiencing fun. And so I'm about to pick some poems, like I said, create some chance poems, and then pick something from the canon of poetry that reflects other people's experiences of fun.
Excellent, excellent. You do a great job, Jackie, and we are so fortunate here at KRFY to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Jim.
And another person whom we are happy to have with us is the man of the 60s. We're not talking about age because he's young at heart. We're talking about a lineup on Saturday. Jerry Warren, do you want to give an overview of the lineup on Saturday and then how you fit in?
Okay. Hi, everybody. I started out here at the station a long time ago. It's just not too long after it first started, as a matter of fact. And at first, I was just a volunteer, just wanted to learn radio. I thought, man, that's cool. And then Jim said, along with a program director at the time, well, why don't you do a show? No, actually, before that, you said, well, pick a decade, a music mm-hmm. decade. And mm-hmm. I said, right away, 60s, it's got to be 60s. And so then I started doing a show. And
so you've had no prior radio experience?
None whatsoever.
So what made you step out of the crowd and say, hey, I'll do something? Because a lot of people are intimidated by a microphone.
Because you asked me.
the power of my asking. Whoa. Okay. By the way, I just noticed you have a KRFY hat on. Where did you get that?
Well, I could say I made it myself, but I didn't.
Ooh, needlework. Okay. So you stepped forward and you took the 60s and tell us the rest of the story.
Well, okay. So the first thing I did was, well, what am I going to do? And I thought, well, I know I'll do the number one songs for every year. That'll be a show. Okay. And so I did that. And the very first show, Jim engineered for me because I didn't know a thing about it, never done it. Training back then was, hi, how are you? Let's go.
You're on your own.
Yeah. And so you took over. And so I had the top songs of the year and you queued them up for me. And I also had some facts to read about, okay, this happened in 1960. And some of them, of course, I tried to be humorous. I didn't try to be, you know, too heavy on things. Except unless it was a real big fact, you know, something enormous that happened. And so that was my first 10 shows I started. And oh, by the way, after the first night, when we were done, I said, okay, that was pretty good. And he said, oh, thanks. Or he said that. And I said, oh, thanks. And he said, okay, you're on your own next week. You do it by yourself. I said, what?
You weren't paying attention?
This is all you have to do is this and this and this. You can
well, we do have to admit it was a different board with less, fewer knobs and very primitive. But I didn't, you make it sound like I abandoned you. I didn't abandon you. I came in. Didn't I come in the next week?
No.
Oh, okay. He became an orphan, a radio orphan.
But he's done so great with it.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
The 60s show is one of my favorites. Actually, it's that whole the Saturday night thing. I wish I didn't have such an active social life, so I could just sit at home and listen to the radio every Saturday night because it's great. It's if I'm at home or in my car. I mean, if I'm at home on Saturday night, that's what we're listening to.
Well, I really appreciate that. And you know what? The thing is that nobody ever did the 50s or the 70s or the 80s until we had a guy who did the music for the 50s, but he didn't actually do a show.
He didn't want to get behind the mic, but yeah. Now we have Bob Hong.
Now we have Bob. Just plain Bob is on.
Just plain Bob. And I called up a request, by the way, you can do that. I called up last Saturday, and I said, I want to hear Patti Page's How Much Is That Doggy in the Window? I mean, it's sort of corny, but it's a comfort song. It takes me back to where I feel safe and secure in certain ways. But Bob Hong does a bang-up job, which it leads into...
The 60s Show with me. And as a matter of fact, I want to say one thing, too. Bob's got his fan club here. Liz is here. So she's great moral support for Bob, and that makes it good. But Bob does a great thing. He talks a lot. He gives a lot of facts about people, you know, about the singers. And I used to do that, but then I did it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I decided that it's time for me not to talk so much, and it's time for me to play more music. And one of the things that goes along with that, I'm going to talk about my show for a little while, is that we started out with somewhere around 600-700 songs, maybe 800 songs in our 60s library, maybe 600, 500 in the 50s library, and after that it went downhill really fast in the 70s and the 80s. And
the number of songs, not the quality of songs.
Not the quality at all, but the number of songs went down. But you have to understand that, I'll take the 60s because I know more about it, about them, is that there were 10 years, there's a top 100 Billboard chart in 52 weeks in every year. There are probably upwards of 10,000 songs that appeared on the Billboard Top 100 song chart for the 60s. And now I'm up to somewhere getting close to, 3,500 maybe. And these are all hit songs. These are all charted songs. They had to sell some records to get on that chart in the United States. And so, go ahead.
Well, one of the things I want to say is every time I come in here to import music, I always see on the iTunes library chart, a bunch of 60s stuff. You are continually adding music, Jerry, 60s music, mm-hmm. to the station's iTunes library. How do you find it?
Well, first of all, I went under the internet and I looked up for all the charts for the top songs of the year for mm-hmm. every year. But mm-hmm. but that's only like 100 per year. And there's way more than that, you know, because these are only the top songs. So then I keep looking for other sources, kept looking for other sources, and I found a book from where I'm from Chicago, which was a WLS, which was a huge radio station in Chicago. And it had, the book is for their top 40 chart for every week for the 10 years.
I've seen you carrying around that book. It's a cool book.
Yeah. I actually have it with me today. So what I did was, This gave me not just songs, but it gave me groups, which was really good.
It's sort of like a detective puzzle. You get a song, it leads you to a group that leads you to the individual members in the group, and that sort of thing. Gladys Knight and the Pips. What did the Pips do? Who were the Pips?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the thing is that now I have a list of songs in my quote unquote wish list that's just enormous. I just topped 2,000 now.
Wow.
And I keep adding some of those as I find them and cross them off my list. So it just keeps going on and on and on. Now, eventually, in the near future, I'm going to come to the end of that. And so I'll have to find another way to find some of these, some new artists or some new music.
What I want to say is, starting off with when we began way back when you just did the number one songs, has this been a surprise to you, the direction you've taken, you've gone with music for the 60s?
I don't know. I don't know how to answer that because I didn't know what to expect when I started. It was one of those things, well, we'll find out, you know?
And you've expanded, haven't you?
Oh, sure.
Your knowledge of music, of artists. So it's been, like with Jackie, a discovery for you.
It has. And the thing is that I've always been... A music maven.
And a maven.
A maven.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always known songs. As a matter of fact, one time on a radio contest, my roommate called in and gave my name because I was the song guy. and we won. And what we won was six albums. And one of the albums was from some obscure group. This is back in 1966 or 7, you know, some obscure group called the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
And years later, 50 years later.
50 years later. And so anyway, I knew the song. Of course, everybody knew it. But then they had another song. We could have won a steam iron if I'd have known that song. It was Elvis.
Not Presley. A toaster oven?
No, no. It was an Elvis Presley song. I still remember this stuff. And of course, I didn't know what it was because it was from one of his movies. And you're like, what?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. If I had to ask you, I know this is going to be tough, to pick a year in the 60s where you go, oh, okay, he just stuck out his tongue like, oh my gosh, do I have to choose? You know, that would be tough, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. It'd be very tough.
You know, in terms of a year where you go, this is, I guess for me, when I think back of the 60s and I wasn't around, I'd have to say probably 63, 64, right in there when the Beatles hit the charts. They just blew everything out of the water in terms of previously a person would record, have a record, it would go up the charts, it would go down the charts and then disappear. The Beatles come on the scene, and partially because they recorded like on VJ Records, Swan Label, Capitol. They Capitol Records didn't want anything to do with the Beatles initially, so they marketed their material to VJ from Gary, Indiana, with Please Please Me. But what they did is 5 out of the top 10 songs would be Beatles songs in the 64. And that read. So for me, it'd be maybe not so much the music, but what it did to pop music.
Yeah, well, the Beatles were a phenomenon. Let's face it. I mean, I kind of tried to hold them at arm's length. You know, I said, well, they're good, but, you know. Mm. But then after that, for years, every week, the Beatles topped the chart every week for years. The Beatles topped the chart. They were a phenomenon that I don't know that people who weren't there would ever understand. It's just they think, oh, the Beatles, yeah, they're great, but no, they were really something. You know,
I was going to say, for me, it'd be 65. I think 60, of that decade, 65 or maybe into 66. But where it seemed like all these group, you got Bob Dylan, the Beach Boys, Brian Wilson, and the Beach Boys. The Beatles, the Rolling Stones and yeah. They were all kind of now they're all out there and they're kind of listening to each other.
They're discovering each other,
right.
Absolutely.
And Brian Wilson has or Pet Sounds is 65. The Bob Dylan, the big one, the Highway 61 Revisited is 65, I think. The Beatles is, I think Revolver must be 65, right?
And in the United States, there was an album called Beatles 65.
Right.
You know, I mean, mm-hmm. Well, that was mainly because of the difference between British releases that had 14 songs on an album. Here we have 12, so we had always two extra songs. So what Capitol did is threw them together.
You see, I have a problem with this because you guys remember these guys, and I remember all of them.
You get the, yeah,
there's,
you have the one-hit wonders, too.
There are too many for me to pick that. To pick this album or those guys.
I mean, well, let's ask you, and we've got a song queued up because we asked you ahead of time. Mm-hmm. If you had to pick one of the quintessential 60s songs, not the, but one, what would it be?
It has to be The Kingsmen and Louie Louie.
Why?
Because it was the song. I mean, everybody talked about it and the words. The words were banned in Indiana. You should know that.
Oh, they were garbled in Indiana.
and I had when I was in college, I had a T-shirt that had certain words on them that you couldn't really read, mm-hmm. but that's what they were supposed to be, you know. And it was the party song. That was the song.
Well, let's party here in the studio, and you folks out there in the world of listening land, get up and move it. To Louie Louie by the Kingsmen.
The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing krfy.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource. The Kingsmen, the fabulous Kingsmen with Louie Louie, right here on 88.5 KRFY. A little taste of the 60s, which you can usually hear at 6 o'clock on Saturday nights with your host, Jerry Warren. That's part of, do we have an official name for the, I think it's the Saturday Decades Countdown is sort of what it
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's 50s at 5, 60s at 6, 70s at 7, and 80s at 8, which is... seems obvious now, and we've been doing it for so long, but whoever came up with that first is some kind of genius.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a. I'm looking at Jim. It might have been him. You were certainly around when it happened.
The words genius and Jim do not go together.
But you were...
yes.
Did you... Had you heard that on other stations, or how did that idea come together?
Well, the way it came about, I think, with Jeff Poole, is we had Otto's Eclectic Mix. And then we started talking about, do we want a song like As Great As Louie Louie Is? Do we want it in Otto's Eclectic Mix, where we felt that part of the flavor of... now, we could play the flip side of, you know, I mean, songs that are not the parts that usually the songs that are heard when we think of an artist. So what we decided was, you know, and same thing with the genres. We have an hour of reggae, an hour of blues, hours of bluegrass, Beatles. We thought we would put them in our groupings, not to say that you might not hear Louie Louie in Otto, but that would be if somebody moved it over into there. But I think the decades natural, we were looking for things to fill up our listening. We didn't have local programmers. So we went to genres, we went to decades, and I don't know how we ended up, but it performed a perfect 4-hour block. And the rest is, and of course we're led in there by Juke in the Back, which is rhythm and blues from the 40s and 50s. And so a great lead in.
Which, by the way, people ought to listen to. Because it's tremendous. It's just this guy does a great
job. Matt the Cat.
Yeah, from Salem, Massachusetts, and he does an amazing job. He's got a record library that'll knock your socks off.
I'd like to know how he accumulates. I mean, one of the things nice about your show and about Matt the Cat is that it might not be a genre or a kind of music that I would go out and buy or regularly listen to, but you create the framework. You put it in a context, and I go, wow. And we rebroadcast on Monday nights, Juke in the Back at 7 o'clock. So if you miss the Saturday one at 4. So tell us about the 70s. Who follows you?
Well, at first, no one followed me. Nobody preceded me. Nobody followed me. I could do whatever I want.
You walked down that road alone, Jerry.
for quite a while. And then, of course, like I said, a guy set up the 50s show, and he did have a library, a file. So he set up the show, the music that he was going to play. So that was fine. And that was good. So I was still here by myself. I was here, as a matter of fact, during one lonely winter when we had some technical problems. and so we really didn't have a station. We had a station, but we didn't have a program. So I was here by myself with just a microphone and a CD player, and I played music, and that was about it.
Is that when the system crashed, when Rivendell, our music system crashed, and before we came over to Radio Logic,
right.
Those were dark days and nights.
So, but we could still go out over the air.
Yeah.
So I did. And so I was doing that. And then later on, we got Bob, and Bob first, he started, he said, I want to do it. No, I think we got Mike before we got Bob. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it doesn't matter. And so Mike said, well, I'll do the 80s. And we did that. So it was a lot easier transition. Nobody was bumping into each other, you know. And not that that's a problem, but at first, you know, when you're first getting accomplished at doing this job, or this, it's not even a job, but, you know, what you like to do.
It's fun.
It is. And the thing is that it makes it an easier transition. You know, somebody strolls in and gets ready and then does their show. Now mm-hmm. we have to actually get in and at the end and get out, you know. So Mike did the 80s, and then he says, well, I'd rather do the 70s. So he's doing the 70s, and then just plain Bob came in there, and he did the 50s, and he's doing the 50s. And everybody's doing, you know, their own thing, which is what I really like. You know, I mean, like I said, my philosophy is I try to get as much music in as I can, because quite frankly, it's my thing nowadays to build my library. So I haven't even played every song I have, which was a hit song, once. I've never even played all the songs at least once. So you see, that's, and I'm trying to remember exactly when I started, but it had somewhere to go to do with in the end of 1912, I think.
Wow.
2012. And I haven't played every song I have yet.
Well, good. That means you'll be with us a while.
Well, it means it's going to go on for a while because I keep adding more songs.
Great, great. Uh-huh. And we do want to say we have no one. What happens is we've got Bob for the 50s, Jerry's at the 60s, Mike at the 70s. The 80s, what we have is an iTunes grouping of music from the 80s and auto selects from there. But if there is anyone out in the listening world who would like to take over the 80s and shape it and give it direction, let us know, step forward, and we'll put you through some training sessions. We will not abandon you.
No. And as a matter of fact, let me point this out. I know the 50s, and I know the 60s, and I know the mid-70s, the best. That's what I know.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, the heart of it is the 60s. Of course, the end of the 50s was just fabulous, but still, nonetheless. So if you really love that music, a certain music decade, or that was when you were in school and you were, you know, you whatever, met someone, you know, whatever, that makes you passionate about that, because you really know that stuff. You know, that's really
and let's face it, we're all of an age, Jerry, where this music has been part of the soundtracks of our lives, that we can hear like the opening bars of Beatles' Twist and Shout and bam-o, 50 years just fade away.
And then you sing the wrong words to the song.
Which is okay. Which is okay, but one of the things I want to say, and you bring this up, is that I feel that I'm totally ignorant about music of the 90s, music of the teens, 2000s, and if there are folks out there who have a feel for it, you know, I get Rolling Stone once every 2 weeks, and I look like at the top 50 songs, and so many I don't, or they'll say 10 years ago or 20 years ago, and I draw a blank, you know, that there's such good music that's coming out these days. And if somebody wants to take over, we'll create a place for the 90s. We'll create a place for the 2000 aughts. But we need to have that music in our system. But like what you've done with the 60s.
You know, Jim, you make me think about one thing too. I don't know if this is true or not, but I think when you're in school, you tend to be a real music fan. I mean, not that you're not afterwards or before, but right then it's really intense. You know, that's what you know who this person is and that person is. You're really into their music, and then so that intense period is going to stay with you forever. Now, unless you're actually in the business and you know all of this stuff, that's one thing. But that's why I say, I mean, I grew up in school in the 50s and 60s and barely into the 70s, so I really know that stuff. After that, you know, you go to work, you get a job, you have people, you know. So you may not be able to listen to all that.
Well, partially music functions in those years as a way to identify yourself. You think in terms of, I can remember the Beatles were not something, someone whom my parents listened to. As I was developing, it was my own. And maybe by the time you get to be out in the world, you have your sense of yourself, and you don't, not that you don't treasure that music, but it's not there during your formative years.
Yeah, and in fact, I grew up on the songs of Elektra, Vanguard,
folk music.
But it occurred to me recently that my granddaughter, for example, is way into dance. And I thought somebody could take an entire show of dance and play music from the various decades that were the danceable musics. You could go from you know, cha-cha to ball through ballroom dancing to Twist and Shout to the later dance. You know, it would take you over a half a century and to focus on different kinds of dance music.
You know, that's interesting because when you, that makes me think of the 60s. You got it's Pony Time. You got the Madison Time, the Stroll,
the monkey, the swim.
Whatever you, I mean, there were so many dances you wouldn't believe it. You know, but
are there dances today? I mean, you know, like I don't know.
Yes, I think there are. Every once in a while, somebody comes out with a song that they want to turn into a fabulous dance.
Yes,
and sometimes it doesn't catch on. There'll be a music video where everybody's doing a simultaneous dance.
The Macarena.
Macarena, yes.
Don't forget that.
We're here on 88.5, the morning show with Jerry and Jackie talking about their respective programs and what a bang-up job they're doing with their areas of expertise and fun.
Well, thanks for that, Jim. I really do appreciate that. I'm always kind of a half-pessimist, like, I wonder if anybody's listening. I wonder if anybody likes it, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, what I tell broadcasters, and I'm sure I've told you this many a time, that's not the point. If you're listening, you are listening, you're rocking all over the place or you're swimming all over the place. Who cares if anybody, I guess we do care, but have fun. And if somebody comes along with the journey.
Well, I absolutely do it.
I feel the same way. I would sit here even if I knew that nobody was listening. And to me, it's kind of icing on the cake that people walk up to me in the street and they say, I loved your last show, and this is why.
Yeah.
But I would do it if no one were listening.
Well, I don't think it's actually insecurity, but you know, you always want to do well. That's all.
Yeah. You want people to get as excited and have as much fun as you're having. Mm-hmm. You know, you want it to be contagious. And, you know, that's the thing about radio. You don't know whose dial is turned on. But that's okay. I mean, if you're enjoying the experience, so be it. And if it stops there, that's the way it is.
And probably that's a good thing as far as the listeners are concerned. I think they could probably tell that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And this station's a little unique in that I might have more listeners out of New York City than I do here because I have a whole group of songwriting friends back in New York City, and I know they tune in over the internet.
I was going to say, and how do they do that, Jackie? Because we stream.
Yes, we stream, and you can pick it up on TuneIn Radio by putting in KRFY.
There you go. And in other words, take us on vacation with you. Take us wherever you go. All you need to go is to www.krfy.org and hit the streaming button.
And I want to throw one thing in, or one or two things in before we quit, okay? And that is that we do not want to slight the 70s and the 80s. Mike does the 70s and he does a great job. He does, you know, his own thing, which is, you know, different than mine and different than Bob's, which is great because everybody has their own ideas and, you know, and that's what we want. And then there's the 80s and right now nobody is actually doing
it. So we can slight them.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. The 80s.
Somebody out there who likes the 80s, step forward and defend your turf. You know, that's what. No, you're absolutely correct. And we have areas, genres like blues, bluegrass, reggae. We're waiting for someone to step forward. Or if you let's say lived in Brazil for a number of years and you have a fantastic collection of samba music, create a program, get training, and we'll find a spot for you. I mean, music is everywhere, so I'm sure we have our. Let's talk about your show, Jack, briefly, because we're winding down. We've only got 7 minutes. Jack is the local music expert, and what a job he does.
Well, thanks, Jim. It just so happens that I have the best show on KRFY. This is the show that everyone should listen to, and I'll tell you why.
Absolutely, because I
host a show on Tuesday nights, and it's rebroadcast on Friday nights, or sometimes. Sometimes it's live on Friday nights and rebroadcasts Tuesday or whatever. But The show is all about local and regional music, and the reason you should listen to it is because, unlike the 60s show, this is a show where you could tune into the local music show, which I call the Norwester now because I've kind of expanded our reach, mm-hmm. but you can definitely hear during my program music that you will like that you've never heard before, and you can go out and probably see that artist performing live, possibly that very week, that very night. And that's something that's a little different, unlike Jerry's excellent show, where if you hear something that you really like, you might have missed the boat on being able to see them see them live, and you certainly won't see them in the area anytime soon. So
yeah, and I check your library out, because when I think of a theme, I'm always looking for the local people first. So Justin Landtrip, Landis, of course, Beth Peterson. I reach out to those artists because we have a very rich community of musicians.
And one of the things I want to say is that fits in with the mission of the station, to give access to the airwaves to people, artists, musicians who might not get access. And I think what you do, Jack, with local artists, local musicians, singer-songwriters, is invaluable.
Well, I'll take some credit for it, but I'm amazed at the talent that we have here in the area. And I really didn't think I took local music because it was sort of just to educate myself.
And we needed somebody to take that area.
Yeah, we had the spot for it. And I said, I'd love to learn a little bit about local music. And I am always really impressed by the quality of music that I'm finding that you definitely are not hearing elsewhere on your radio dial or, you know, out in the
media. You also have interviews. You also have in-studio performances. Mm-hmm. So you're not just limited to recorded music.
This is true. Yes, indeed. And I think coming up in the fall, we'll have Susie Prez will be back doing a regular program that always features interviews with local musicians. And she'll be calling it Songs, Voices, or no, not Songs, Voices, Poems. She's going back to calling it Between the Notes.
Right? Between the Notes. And Jack's show is at 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock on Tuesdays and Fridays.
That's correct.
Let me throw one more thing in. Not that she needs it, but let's not forget Velma.
Oh.
Yeah.
Velma is from 6:30 to 9 o'clock on Wednesday, the Hump Day Cafe. Doesn't she do a bang-up job?
She's tremendous. Mm-hmm. She's great.
She really transmits over the airwaves a sense of well-being and fun, and she just has this enormous personality to do that.
And the music that she plays would be music that you don't hear, number one, on any other station in the area, but number two, even on our program schedule. She will be discovering people and playing their music, and you go, wow. I mean, she just has a command of a great breath, and it transcends genre. It can be bluegrass, it can be blues, it can be rhythm and blues, it can be rock, it can be folk. She's just all over the place.
You know what's really cool? Well, of course, everybody knows Velma, or they should. And she's been at it a while, and she's just so good.
She makes it sound easy.
Incredible.
Right. Her in-between talking just
flows,
fills you.
Flows.
Yes.
And besides that, though, and Jack and Jim and Jackie have just, you know, made me think about, we do have a lot of people on the air. We really do. And it's not enough.
Exactly. Well, you know, I mean, you're absolutely correct. We have a lot of people on the air. We would like to have more. And whether you have as much expertise and skill as, let's say, a Velma who has had experience elsewhere in the radio, or a total rookie like a Jerry Warren, you know, step up to the plate. And not everybody wants to be on the air. We have other roles to play here at the station, but we certainly value each and every local programmer and local program. Most definitely. Sure. We're winding down, aren't we, Jack?
We are. We're just about out of time.
Can I throw a word in? Tonight, yeah. I have my folk show. My folk show. Tonight, I'm going to do men in folk songs. Last week, I did women in folk songs. And I'm going to do men. And by that, I don't mean not necessarily male singers, but I will do like Joshua Fitt, the Battle of Jericho, the Ballad of Hollis Brown, Joe Turner Blues, Tom Dooley, men who are in the titles of the
songs.
And
what time is that, Jim?
That's 9 to 10 o'clock. I go on live. And then 10 to midnight is the Thursday nights. Auto selects out of a folk group. And what I've been doing is, since there are times of the year when I'm not here, I've been podcasting my first hour so that we can do it live or pretend it's live. I've been evergreening them.
That's right. I'm sorry we ran out of time to talk more in depth about the folk show, but you do have a great deal of knowledge that you bring to that as well.
I love it. You know, this what Jerry was talking about going back a number of years, boy, when I put on an album from Vanguard or Elektra, that sort of thing, or Prestige Label or Smithsonian Folkways, boy, does that just take me back. Comfort music.
We don't have time for the upcoming event schedule, but go to sandpointonline.com and check it out. That's where we get our information most usually. And stay tuned for Bird Note, Otto's Eclectic Mix, all day long. Any final notes?
Well, I'm departing now for about a month.
I've got
mom duty and Notre Dame football.
This is your sign-off.
This is my sign-off until October. So, okay. Jack, you're on your own. You're being abandoned. I must have this history of abandoning people by the mic. You know, I abandoned Jerry. I'm abandoning you.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, I think Kerry Logan will be in as a guest host coming up in a couple weeks. And until then, I'll make do. So, anyway, stay tuned for Bird Note, Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long. And until next time, Audio Jack for Jim Healy signing off. Have a nice day.
So.